Mesechtas Menacha is Daf Tzadik Vav, five lines on the top of Daf Tzadik Vav and Aleph, after the Mishnah. And although in the previous Mishnah, Daf Tzadik Hei and Beis, where we discussed the kneading as well as the forming and the baking of the Shteil Lechem and Lechem Aponim, we saw a three-way machlekes between the Tanakam, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon. And the Tanakam held, Ishasim, Ari, Chasim, Bachot, Vafiyasim, Bifnim, and Rabbi Yehuda held, Kol Masein, Bifnim, and Rabbi Shimon held, Kol Masein, Bachot. And we explained that certainly all agreed that Midas Yavesh, Lein Iskacha, the measure measuring cups that they used in the Beis HaMikdash to measure out the Yisarin of Segles was not Niskadesh and was not considered Klishares. However, our Mishnah continues, Chavite Kohen Gadol, Yishos V'Yichosim V'Afiyosim Efnim V'Deiches Es HaShabbos, and all agree, B'negei Minchas Chavitin, that the Kohen Gadol brought every single day, Machtzitzah V'Beker, Machtzitzah V'Erev, and certainly the Midas Yavesh and the measuring cup that was used to measure out the half Yisarin of Segles that was used for the six lechem in the morning and the six lechem in the evening, that was the Skadesh. Therefore, the kneading and the forming, as well as the baking of the lechem, had to be done inside that Zara. And in addition, since the flour was in the Skadesh already bekli, therefore, the baking of the lechem that would be required for the Chavite Kohen Gadol that was brought on Shabbos must be done on Shabbos and could not be done on Friday. As if it would be baked on Friday, then since it was already in the Skadesh bekli, then the psolina would apply, and the Kohen Gadol would not be able to use this lechem on Shabbos for his Chavite Kohen Gadol and for his carbon. Therefore, certainly the baking of the Chavite Kohen Gadol was Deicha Shabbos. And Ayin Rashi explains that why is it that everyone agrees that certainly the measuring cup that was used for the Chatzi Yisarin of Stoilus of the Minchas Chavite of Kohen Gadol was Niskadesh, while all agree that the Midas Yavesh of the Yisarin was not Niskadesh. And Zok Rashi, behind the Moshech Yisarin Shalem, in place you call other Maidaboy Minchasai, Upam Shomitzi Elochot, and since all Menachos were brought as the Yisarin, and every regular person would be measuring their seilus in that kli, so there was a concern that potentially they would take the seilus outside the Azara, their seilus would be possible based on going outside the Azara. However, the Hefi Yisarin measuring cup was only used by the Kohanim to measure the Chetzi Yisarin of the Mincha of the Kohen Gadol, and since Kohanim's Rizenheim, therefore we were not concerned that they would take the seilus outside the Azara, and therefore was Niskadish as a Klishares, and in the large tesis on Daf Tzadik Hayom where Tosis explains that the reason why the measuring cup that would hold the Chetzi Yisarin was Niskadesh was because the Minchas Chavitin was brought with Shemen. Certainly the Shemen was already Niskadesh B'Kli, therefore it wouldn't be proper to place the Shemen that was already Niskadesh in a Kli that was not a Kli Shares. However, since the Shteil Lechem and the Lechem Apanim were not made with oil, therefore this concern did not apply B'negei the Keli of the Shteil Lechem and the Lechem Apanim. Our Mishnah continued, Tzchinasim V'Akadosan Eina Deiches HaShabbos, since the grinding as well as the sifting of the flour of the Chavite Kohen Gadol could have been done on Erev Shabbos, therefore it would not be Deicha Shabbos. And Klalam Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Kiva teaches us a general rule that although we learned from Rabbi Elazar the Mila, Rabbi Elazar holds that Machshirei Mila could be Deicha Shabbos. However, Zok Rabbi Kiva, Kol Malach She'ef Shal Aseisim Erev Shabbos in Deicha Shabbos, V'She'ef Shal Alasim Erev Shabbos, Deicha Shabbos, that any Malach that's possible to do from Erev Shabbos, then it would not be Deicha Shabbos. And the only time that something would be Deicha Shabbos is only on those melachos that it's impossible to do prior to Shabbos. It must be done on Shabbos. And as Rashi says, v'shiyefsha fi yosan yefsha lasis me'esval v'loy lishva richa, the kivin the kachabul kli mifsal b'lino, as we already explained. And the Mishnah now continues, kol menachos yesh ben meisek kli b'fnim ve'ein ben meisek kli b'chutz, the kneading and shaping and certainly the baking of every other mincha must be done inside the Azara and must be done in the kli shareis. Rashi holds that although the kli shareis that they measured the flour in was not Niskadesh. However, the Gemara will bring a limud that even so, Lishin Aricha must still be done in the Kli Shareis. And Ayin Tesis and Daf Tzadik Hayom and Beis that the reason why the Lishin Aricha of a regular Mincha had to be done in the Kli Shareis because the standard Mincha was brought with Shemen and the Shemen was already Niskadesh. Therefore, it has the same din as the Chavite Kohen Gadol and the Lishin Aricha must be done in the Kli Shareis inside the Azara. The Mishnah now continues and tells us the dimensions of the Shteil Lechem and Lechem Aponim, and as Rabbeinu Geshem states, is based on Halacha Mishmi Sinai, and as the Mishnah states, Shteil Lechem Orkon Shiva Tvachim V'Rachman Abba Tvachim V'Kanisah Abba Etzbois, that the length of the Shteil Lechem was 7 Tvachim, their width was 4 Tvachim, they added on a piece of dough to its corners. These horns that were on the Shteil Lechem were 4 Etzbois, which is 1 Tefach. However, the Mishnah continues, Lechem Aponim Orkon Asar Tvachim V'Rachman Chamisha Tvachim V'Kanisah Sheva Etzbois, that the length of each of Lechem Aponim was 10 Tvachim long, prior to us folding it it over, the width of each lechem apanim was 5 tefachim, and its horns were 7 etzpois. Rashi explains the lashon karni se'ah is from the lashon of a horn, and as Rashi states, shei madbit batek l'chol zavis ke'in karnayim va'orech ha'karen dal etzpois. However, Ayin Rabbeinu Geshem, who explains that the lashon karen comes from the lashon of a corner, and there were extra strips of dough that were placed on each corner. The Mishnah continues, Rabbi Yehuda imesh leitita zayin dal dalid yud hei zayin. These are simanim for the size of the shtei lechem and lechem apanim, as the shtei lechem was zayin dal dalid, 7 tefachim for its length, 4 tefachim for its width, and karnosu were 4 etzpois. While the simon for the lechem apanim is yud hei zayin, its length was 10 tefachim, its width was 5 tefachim, and karnosu 7 etzpois, as we previously saw, and as we know from the Agadah, that this is Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasai, Rabbi Yehuda hainosu bem simanim, the tzach adash b'achab. Our Mishnah continues, ben zayim ha'imeh, that the pasuk in Pashat Truma states, v'nesata ala shulchan lechem panim l'fonai tamid, and as Rashi explains in his first explanation, lechem panim shiyu lay panim, that the Torah teaches us, the lechem panim should have many faces, and should have many surfaces. This refers to the next din of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah will discuss that we fold up the sides of the lechem panim to create multiple surfaces. However, Rashi continues and brings the second explanation. He explains that ben zayim is going back on the previous din of the Mishnah, and the way to read the words of the ben zayim, lechem panim shiyu lay pinim, the lechem panim should have corners. This refers back to the kanoisiv that we previously mentioned in the Mishnah. And before we continue with the Mishnah, let us point out that certainly all agree that the pasuk states v'asisa shulchan atzi shitim amasayim orkoi ba'am rochboi ba'am v'chetzi koimasai. Certainly based on this pasuk in Pashas Truma, the mentions of the length of the shulchan was 2 amas, its width was 1 amma, and its height was an amma and a half. However, as we will see, there's a machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir as to how many tefachim were in each amma. As Rabbi Yehuda holds at least the kelim of the Mishkan were measured based on an amma that was 5 tefachim, or Rabbi Meir holds that it was based on an amma of 6 tefachim. However, certainly all agree to the measurements of the lechem apanim that the Mishnah previously stated. Rabbi Yehuda gave as a simon of Yud Hei Zayin, it was 10 tefachim long, 5 tefachim wide, its kronos was 7 etzpais. Based on this haktama, our Mishnah continues, Hashulchan Arka Yud V'rach B'chamisha Lechem Apanim Arka Yud V'rach B'hei Nesin Arka K'neged Rach B'shal Shulchan V'kaifel Tefachayim Mechza Mikan V'tefachayim Mechza Mikan Nimtza Arka M'mali Rach B'shal Shulchan Div Rabbi Yehuda. Yehuda holds that certainly the length of the Shulchan was 2 amas and the width of the Shulchan was 1 amma, but he holds that translates to 10 tefachim long and 5 tefachim wide. When placing the Lechem Apanim on the Shulchan, length of the Lechem Apanim was placed to the width of the Shulchan, and the width of the Lechem Apanim was placed to the length of the Shulchan. Since the Rabbi Yehuda, the Shulchan was only 5 tefachim wide, while the length of each of the Lechem Apanim was 10 tefachim long. That's why initially, when they made the Lechem Apanim in their forms, they made sure to fold over the Lechem Apanim 2.5 tefachim on each side. Therefore, the length of the Lechem Apanim would fit perfectly onto the width of the Shulchan. And as our Mishnah stated, Nimtza Arkoi M'mali Rach B'shal Shulchan. Similarly, since we know that there were 2 piles of Lechem on the Shulchan, and there were 2 Marachais, and since the width of each Marach of Lechem Apanim was 5 tefachim wide, and it was sitting on the length of the Shulchan, the 2 Marachais of Lechem Apanim would take up the entire length of the Shulchan, and the Fir Rabbi Yehuda, the breads of Lechem Apanim, would cover the entire Shulchan. We have explained our Mishnah based on the Sheet of Rabbi Chanina that we saw in that Tzadik Da'alam Beis that Kamin Teva Putza, and Ayin Mepharshim who discussed how they would explain the Mishnah according to the Sheet of Rabbi Yechlan that held that the Lechem Apanim was formed like a Sfina Rekedes, and Ayin Rashi and Asugin, Diba Masal to Vachayim Mechza, Lemailo Mikan Mikan, Vehein Hein Akronois, Venimtsu Zakufis Beshovel Svasa Shulchan, and Lemanda Oma Kamin Sfina Rekedes, and according to Rabbi Yechlan, Havu Hanach to Fanois, Hochois Vizekvis Bishapua, Ayin Shom. And Mishnah now continues and brings the Sheet to Rameir, and as Rashi states, Rameil Tamei, the Oma Kola Amois Hayabinis, and the Amois of the Kalim were measured based on a 6 tefach amor, which is called the amor benis, as there was a larger amor and a smaller amor, and this was the share of the middle-sized amor. And Rashi states, "V'alechem asara d'b'halay polig." And certainly, even Rameh agrees to Rabbi Yehuda that the length of the lechem apanim was 10 tefachim. Therefore, our Mishnah continues: Rameh Imer Hashulchan Orko Yud Beis V'Rach Boi Vav Lechem Apanim Orko Yud V'Rach Boi Hei Naisin Orko Kneger Rach Boi Shel Shulchan Koyful Tefachay Mikan V'Tefachay Mikan and V'Tefachay Revach Be'emza Kedei Shtei Aruach Min Hashavas Behem. And since the Fir Rameh, the 2 amos of the length of the Shulchan and the 1 am of the width of the Shulchan translates to the top of the Shulchan being 12 tefachim long by 6 tefachim wide, the full length of the lechem apanim prior to being folded over was 10 tefachim long and 5 tefachim lechem wide, even Rami agrees to Rabbi Yehuda that the length of the lechem apanim was placed to the width of the shulchan, and the width of the lechem apanim was placed to the length of the shulchan. In order for the lechem apanim to fit onto the shulchan, they had to fold over two tvachim of each side of the lechem apanim. Then the length of the lechem apanim fit perfectly into the width of the shulchan. And since the width of the lechem apanim was five tvachim, and they placed two of the lechem apanim together towards the length of the shulchan, which then took up 10 tvachim of the shulchan, so there was still two tvachim left over between the two sets and the two merachis of the lechem apanim. The reason why we wanted to have space between the two merachis of the lechem apanim was in order for air to be able to circulate between the two merachis. This would prevent the lechem apanim from becoming moldy. The Mishnah now continues that according to our mayor, that there were two extra tvachim between the two merachis of the lechem apanim. So Abishal Oimesh Shomar Yunais and Shnei Bezich Lovayna Shalechem Apanim, that was in that area that they were able to place the Shnei Bezich Lovayna of the Lechem Apanim, and the Shnei Bezich Lovayna of Lechem Apanim was actually placed on the Shulchan. However, as we already saw in the Gemara in Daf Tzadik Dalam Abayz, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that since there was no extra space on the actual Shulchan, the Shnei Bezich Lovayna was actually placed on the Lechem Apanim, as we saw the Lefir of Chanina that came in Teva Prutza, so therefore the Shnei Bezich Lovayna was able to sit on the bottom of the Lechem Apanim and on the flat portion of the Lechem Apanim. The Gemara explained that according to Rabbi Yechron, Makum Ovid Lehu, they had to actually create a place for the Bezichin on the Lechem Apanim, Ayin Sham. Our Mishnah continues, Armuloi, Varikva Nemav, Nesatel Amrechas, Lovainu Zaka. They responded to Abishol that the Pasuk in Pashas Emor states, Nesatel Amrechas, Lovainu Zaka, Vahisal Lechem Laskari, Ishal Hashem. And it therefore seems clear, like Rabbi Huda, that the Shnei Bezich Lovainu was not actually placed on the Shulchan, and instead it was placed on the actual Lechem. However, Amalahem, Abishol responded to them, Harikva Nemav, that even though the pasuk uses the lashon of al, the lashon al doesn't necessarily mean on, and it could sometimes mean next to, as we find in Pashas Bamidbar when the Torah is speaking about the degel of Ephraim, and it says that the matah Menashe was right next to matah Ephraim. The Torah uses the lashon of alav, certainly means that they were right next to, and it does not mean they were right on top of. The Mishnah continues to describe the shulchan va'abos nifin shel zav hayusham mivutzalim rishayim shayusim chabam shnayim l'sei dezev shnayim l'sei dezev. There were four support beams made out of gold that were placed along the length of the shulchan. There were pre-drilled holes in these support beams. It would then place the rods into these holes in order to support the bread and in order to separate between each lechem apanim in order to make sure that they did not become moldy. This is the mashmais of Rashi and Dibur Maskel Hamufutzalin. Losses Rashi Akanim, but Isa Pitzulin, the Hab Pitzulin, Yesh Behel Lemini Akanim. Some explained there was some sort of protrusions that came out of the support beams. Then the kanim or the half rods would sit on top of these projections, ayin and mefarshim. The Mishnah states, v'chof chas kanim k'chatzi kanachol abo osel seidezeh v'yudal seidezeh. There were a total of 28 of these half rods would be supported by these support beams. There were 14 kanim for each of the marachais, and as we know, there were 6 lechem on each of the marachais, and the bottom lechem would sit directly on the shulchan because the table was cold. Therefore, they weren't concerned that the bread would become moldy. Then between the first and second lechem and the second and third, as well as the third and fourth of the fifth lechem, there were 3 kanim placed between each row in order to support the lechem a bit, and it was also placed there in order to make sure that there was some space between each of the breads in order to make sure that it would not become moldy. Then between the fifth and sixth bread, there was only a need for 2 kanim and not 3 kanim, as 2 kanim was enough to support the sixth bread that was on top of the fifth bread. Therefore, there was only a need for 14 kanim for each of the 2 merachais, which is a total of 28 kanim. Before we continue with the Mishnah, as Rashi explains in Daf Tzadik Zayin Amud Aleph, although midiraisa there is no issue of placing the half rods into the shulchan or removing the half rods from the shulchan. However, Rabbanan made gzira that they should not do so on Shabbos, as is mechzik kabinyan v'stira. Therefore, Mishnah teaches us loisi the kanim v'leini tilasim deiches haShabbos. The placement of the kanim into the sleepin and the removal of the kanim into the sleepin was not deiches haShabbos. However, since they had to remove the bread from the previous week on Shabbos, it would be impossible to remove the breads without previously removing the kanim. Mishnah teaches us al nichtas me'erev Shabbos v'shemtei v'neis la'orka shel shulchan. The kohanim would remove these kanim on erev Shabbos from between each of the levels of the breads, and they would temporarily store them underneath the shulchan and to the length of the shulchan. Then on Shabbos they would remove the breads for the prior week. They would also place the new breads for the current week onto the shulchan without using the kanim. Then on Matzah Shabbos they would take the rods and they would place it in between each level of breads, as we will see in detail in the Brisa on Daf Tzadik Zayin Aleph, Ayin Tesis on Daf Tzadik Zayin Aleph, La Orkeshel Shulchan, al ritzbohe midi choyla urcha shulchan. Certainly, the al shulchan loy hayim makum panoi niyecha kanam laorkan, and some agers lemidi sakanam laorkai. Finally, the Mishnah teaches us kol kelim shayim b'migdash arkan laorkai shalbayis, that the length of the various shulchanais as well as the various menorahs that were made for the base of migdash all placed on east-west direction. However, keep in mind that certainly the length of the aron was placed to the southwest direction in the kodesh kadoshim, and in tesis diba maskel kol kelim shayim b'migdash arkan laorkai shalbayis. Tesis points out, as we just explained, b'gemara tanya chutz me'aron she'arkan laorkai shalbayis, and tesis continues that our mishnah is dafka going according to shita rabbi, as with shulchan menorah pligi rabbi rabbi lazar rabbi shimon umasisa k'rabbi da'ama mizruch umari b'nachin ayin sham. We just saw in the mishnah lo see the kanim v'lein tilosim deiches shabbos ayin rashi and daf tzadik zayinim alif va'av agav de'in shvus b'migdash haytil to lab mishum shvusu el de mechzikah b'ayin v'seisa, and also ayin tesis and daf tzadik zayinim alif who is bothered with this pshat of rashi. However, ayin ritva mesechtes irvin and daf kut bezum alif where he states av agav de'in shvus b'migdash loy klas shvus in hetiru d'atnan, and as we learned in our mishnah and daf tzadik zayinim alif mesechtes menachreis the sida kanim v'tilosim ayin deiches shabbos v'achi nami amin al kamon, and we also will see on daf kuf gimel and alif gab b'chitiches yabeles v'nir de chol shvus she'im b'tzer gadol b'migdash leitru v'chein leitru b'davish shenir k'malach d'raisa oishu karav lovu l'day isatera ayin sham. Our gemara continues that the mishnah stated kol menachah is yesh ben maisa kli b'finim v'ein ben maisa kli b'chutz. Our gemara begins sholos rebbe zuminayin, that they asked rebbe that how do we know this halacha, and with you rashi the gemara's question is very simple, that since we already learned that the midas yavish or the measuring cup which they measured the flour for the mincha was not in Scottish as the klishar is, so the flour of the mincha did not become kaddish b'kedushas aguf, and if so, why would the lishon aricha of the menachos have to be done b'fnim and have to be done in klishar is? The Gemara continues, Amar lahem, that Rebbe responded, that in Pasukim Yecheskel, where the Malach is explaining how to make the bayis shlishi, Yecheskel tells us by Yoimei Lai that the Malach told me, Zeh amokom eshi yivashu shom akrinu mesa oshem esachatos, she yoifu esa mincha levulti hoitzi lachotza chitzayna lekaddish esa'am, that this is the place where they would cook the Oshim and Chatos, and they would also bake the Mincha, and they would not be able to do it outside the Azara. Rabbi explains, Mincha dumi the Oshim v'chatos, as ma Oshim v'chatos tu n'kli, af Mincha nami tu n'kli. Since we know that in order to cook the Oshim and Chatos, one requires a kli, and the Pasuk clearly tells us that this must be done inside the Azara, and could not be done outside the Azara. The same would be true, but again, the baking of the Mincha, and that must be done in the kli shares, and could not be done outside the Azara. And I am mefarshim that are bothered that l'chayr this explains that the actual baking of the mincha must be done in Azara, but how do we know that the lisha and aricha must be done in Azara as well? Some explain that since the kabbalah and the zrika of the dam of the chatas and osham must be done in a kli, therefore these maisim of the mincha which take place prior to cooking and the baking of the mincha must also be done in a kli. The mishnah now continues that we brought a machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda Meir, and as the mishnah stated that shulchan aruch asara etc. The gemara states Amr Rabbi Yechon that according to Rabbi Huda that holds that the length of the lechem aponim was folded up and went up 2.5 tvachim on each side, since we know there was 6 lechem aponim, and since the height of each of the lechem aponim was 2.5 tvachim, since 2.5 tvachim times 6 lechem aponim equals 15 tvachim, and certainly any place where the lechem aponim was situated was in the skadesh, therefore Zok Rabbi Yechon nimsa shulcha mekadesh chamisa asher tvachim v'mayla, must be that the shulcha would be mekadesh anything that's within the 15 tvachim of its airspace. As Rashi explained that pei zayin beis claima the kedusha shel shulchan haya oile chamisha aser tvachim vayim mekadesh kol davar bein lechem bein kmatzim bechamisha aser tvachim dahainu goyde shalai. And the chiddush of Rabbi Yechon is that it's not only mekadesh lechem aponim, but it will also be mekadesh any kmitza that's placed on the shulchan. Rabbi Yechon continues the divrei mitzvah tvachim kaifol, and according to Rabbi Meir that holds that they will bend up the lechem aponim by 2 tvachim, so nimsa shulchan mekadesh neim aser tvachim lemaila, and since there was 6 lechem aponim, if we multiply the 2 tvachim of the height of each lechem aponim times 6 lechem aponim, the total would be 12 tvachim, and therefore, according to Rabbi Meir, the shulchan would be mekadesh anything that enters the 12 tvachim of its airspace. Our Gemara continues in Eser Rabbi Yechon ve'ikol kanim, that how can you say that the shear would be either 15 or 12 tvachim if l'maisa was also the rods between each of the lechem aponim, therefore the airspace would be even higher. And the Gemara explains kanim shkriyim shakalu, when baking the bread, they would actually make an indentation in each of the lechem aponim, and that was where the rods would be situated. Therefore, the rods did not add anything to the airspace of the shulchan. However, the Gemara is still bothered, as my taima, as what is one of the main reasons of having a kanim for the lechem apanim, mishum yifush lechem, is in order to make sure it doesn't become moldy and save come yafish lechem. And if you would actually make these indentation and there was no airspace between each lechem apanim, then although the kanim would support the lechem, however, ultimately the lechem would become moldy. And the Gemara explains the magbalei porta, and the kanim were in place directly on the bread, and there was some space between the kanim and the lower level. The Gemara therefore is for ikahu porta, and you are also agreeing that there was some space that the kanim took up, so that should also add to the airspace. However, the Gemara explains kiven le'avet tefach le'chashel le, that since between all of the kanim there wasn't even an additional tefach, therefore Rabbi Yechon did not add this to the calculation, and that's why Rabbi Yechon just stated that according to Rabbi Yehuda there were 15 tefachim, according to Rami there were 12 tefachim of airspace. However, the Gemara continues va'ik bezichin, although the fear of Meir and l'fiyah b'shol, the bezichin of the levina were placed on the actual shulchan, but according to Rabbi Yehuda there was no place on the shulchan for the bezichin, and the bezichin were placed on the actual lechem. That should also be included in the airspace of the shulchan. However, the Gemara explains begavi the lechem havi yasve l'bahadi lechem havi kaimei, as we previously explained, the bezichin of the levina that were on the shulchan were not actually placed on top of the lechem, but they were actually placed within the lechem. Therefore, the bezichin of the levina did not add to the airspace of the shulchan. However, the Gemara continues v'ikka kronos, that l'maisa each of the lechem upon him had kronos that was 7 etzbais. The havmin of the Gemara is that the 7 etzba for each of the lechem upon him went upwards and they looked like actual horns, since we know that 4 etzba equals a tefach. So if you had 7 extra etzba on each of the lechem upon him, so you had 6 lechem upon him times 7 etzba would be 42 etzbais, and it would actually add an additional 10 tefachim to the airspace of the shulchan. However, the Gemara responds kronos l'gavei the lechem kaiflu v'lechem alayu nochlei, that the kronos of the lechem upon him did not go upwards, they were formed horizontally, therefore they did not take up any height in the airspace of the shulchan. That's why Rabbi Yechon did not include them when calculating the airspace of the shulchan. And we continue on Daf Tzadik Vav Beis, and before we continue with the next question, let us point out that the pasuk in Parshas Truma tells us v'asisa loy miskeres teifach saviv v'asisa zer zav l'miskatei saviv. As Rashi brings down in Chumash, yesh emim l'mayla ha'isa saviv l'shulchan k'moy l'vazavizin shebesfash shulchan sarim v'yesh emim l'mata ha'isa t'kuam regla ba'ab ruchis ha'shulchan v'daf ha'shulchan sheikha v'aloysa miskeres. Rashi brings down the machlekes that we will see in our Gemara. Some hold that the miskeres was alleged that went on top of the shulchan. Some hold that it was a border or some sort of an apron that was placed underneath the top of the shulchan and ran between the legs of the shulchan. Our Gemara feels that if the miskeres was placed on top of the shulchan, then since both according to Rami and Rabbi Huda, the lechem apanim was the size of the shulchan itself, the lechem apanim must have sat on top of the miskeres. If so, according to Rabbi Huda, the airspace of the shulchan would be 16 tefachim instead of 15 tefachim, and according to Rami, the airspace of the shulchan would be 13 tefachim instead of 12 tefachim. And as the Gemara continues, v'ikim miskatoi, and as Rashi states, the goy v'tevach, which was a tefach high, the chimisar the lechem aloh havi tesayin tefachim, and according to Rabbi Huda, the airspace of the shulchan would be 16 tefachim. However, the Gemara explains, k'manda omer miskatoi l'mato hisa, Rabbi Yechon is going according to the manda omer, the miskeres was not on top of the table, but instead it was on the bottom of the shulchan. Therefore, the miskeres did not add anything to the airspace of the shulchan, as the lechem apanim sat directly on top of the shulchan. And the Gemara continues, l'manda omer miskatoi l'mato hisa, and even according to the manda omer, it holds that the frame of the shulchan was on top of the shulchan. So pakudei avim fakda v'lechem begavei the shulchan avi yosef. Though the miskeres sat on top of the shulchan, however, they leaned the miskeres towards the outside of the shulchan and wasn't placed on a right angle on top of the shulchan, and therefore there was still space for the lechem apanim to sit directly on top of the shulchan. The lechem apanim were able to sit directly within the frame, and therefore the frame did not add anything to the airspace of the shulchan. And as Rashi says, pakud mefakda ke'in prakdon shaloi hisis kufa b'shava el mishupas v'noita klap b'chutz ve'in alechem sadolah. The Gemara continues to bring a riot to this point, that even according to the Manda Omer, the Miskata L'mailo Hisa, the Lechem Apanim did not sit on top of the Miskeres, as Kedetanya, we learned to the Braisa, Rabbi Yisi Oimer, Lo'i Hoyu Sham Snifin, El Miskata Shol Shulchan Ma'amedes HaSalechem. Rabbi Yisi argues on a Mishnah, and he holds that the Shulchan did not have the 4 support beams, and the only thing that supported the Lechem Apanim was the frame and the ledge of the Miskeres was placed on the top of the Shulchan, and the bottom layer of the Lechem Apanim was placed directly inside this form and directly inside this frame. And certainly the fear of Chanina that the lechem apanim was formed the kamin tefa prutza, so it makes sense that the lechem apanim was able to stand one on top of each other. The bottom lechem apanim was supported by by the Miskeres, the rest of the Lachem HaPanim was supported by the Kanim, and Ayin Tesis in our Sugya, Miskati Shal Shulchem HaMedesis HaLechem, Mashma She'in Tzar HaMada El Chal HaTachtoino, Nulel Purashnu, and Ayin Tesis and Dav Tzadik Dalam HaBeiz, and also Ayin Chazanish, that the only Machlik is between Rav Chanin and Rabbi Yechon, is only according to our Mishnah, where our Mishnah held that there were the four support beams, and there was Snipin that were attached to the Shulchan. However, according to Rabbi Yisi, all agree that the Lechem HaPanim were made like a box, and not like a Sfinah Rekedes. Our Brisa continues, our Muloi, that the response Rabbi Yisi, Miskata L'mata Isa, that the Miskeres of the Shulchan was an apron or a border that was placed underneath the tabletop of the Shulchan. L'maisa, we see two things from this Brisa. The number one, we see that Pekudei HaMefakta, that even according to Rabbi Yisi, that the Miskeres L'mayla Isa, that even so, the Lechem did not sit on the Miskeres, and instead it sat within the form and within the frame of the Miskeres. And we also see that there's machlekes between Rabbi Yisi and the other man, the Amrim, as Rabbi Yisi holds the Miskeres L'mayla Isa, while the other man, the Amrim, held Miskarta L'mata Isa. The Gemara now continues that we just saw that there's man, the Amrim, that holds Miskarta L'mata Isa. And Lefidus man, the Amrim, the Miskeres was placed underneath the tabletop of the Shulchan and between its legs, and then the tabletop of the Shulchan was positioned on top of this frame, and the top of the Shulchan was not permanently affixed to the Shulchan, and the top of the Shulchan did not have any frame around the top of the Shulchan, and therefore it did not have a base kibbol, and it was pshutei kli eitz, and it was a straight piece of wood. And since it was a flat piece of wood that was not attached to the Shulchan, so one would be able to use either side of the top of the Shulchan. And let's keep in mind that generally b'negeya tuma, we have a din that if there's pshutei kli eitz, which are flat pieces of wood, which do not have a base kibbol, it would generally not be mekabel tuma, and as the pasuk in Pasuk Shmini tells us, the chol shiipul lav mehem b'moisim yitma b'chol kli eitz a beged or a saw kol kli ashi osam malachabem b'mayimu v'tamei ad ha'or v'tayer. If a sheretz falls on these kelim, then the kelim will become tamei. We have makish a kli eitz and a sack, just like a sack has an inside. So a kli eitz also has to have a toich in order to become tamei. Similarly, since a sack is made to carry things both while it's full and when it's empty, so the same would apply to a kli eitz. And the only way that a kli eitz would be tamei is only if it's metaltel mol v'reikon. However, as we will see in the Gemara, certainly the Shulchan was something that was mekabel tuma. Based on this akdama, the Gemara continues and brings another member of Rabbi Yechon, as Om Rabbi Yechon, l'divrei oimim miskati l'mata isa, tavla mesapechas tmeya, and l'divrei oimim miskati l'mayla isa, tavla mesapechas tibay l'cha, that zok Rabbi Yechon, that certainly according to the Ma'an Omar, that the miskeres of the Shulchan was underneath the Shulchan, and therefore the top of the Shulchan was just a flat piece of wood. L'fri Rabbi Yehuda measured 5 tfachim by 10 tfachim, and according to Rabbi Meir, measured 6 tfachim by 12 tfachim. The Maisa, even though it was pshuta kli eitz, it still was mekabel tuma, and the reason it was mekabel tuma because it's a large piece of wood that can be used on either side, and even though it doesn't have an actual base kibbol, however, it's considered as if it had a base kibbol, since many items could be placed on top of this piece of wood, they would not fall off of this piece of wood, and therefore it's considered as if it had a teich, and therefore, just like the shulchan would become tamei, so the same would apply if someone had a large piece of wood that was able to be used on both sides, that the same din would apply and it would be able to be mekabel tuma. However, zok Rabbi Yechon, that according to Rabbi Yisi and those that hold that the miskeres of the shulchan was a ledge that was formed around the top of the shulchan, so the shulchan had a base kibbol, and therefore it makes sense that it was mekabel tuma, and we would still have a shayla if a large piece of wood that's pshuta kli eitz and can be used on either side would be mekabel tuma, or possibly would have the same din as a regular pshuta kli eitz, and it would not be mekabel tuma. And the Gemara now continues that Rabbi Yechon Lamaisa stated that from the shulchan we could bring a raya if one had a large flat piece of wood, then even though it's pshuta kli eitz, it would still be mekabel tuma. But this is only based on anocha that the shulchan was mekabel tuma, and therefore Gemara continues and asks Rabbi Yechon that mechlal the shulchan ba kabulu tumahu, that according to you it's muchach that you hold that the shulchan was mekabel tuma, but l'chir, why should it be mekabel tuma if kli eitz asal l'nachasu? Even if you will say that since the top of the shulchan was a very large piece of wood, therefore it's considered as if it has a teich. L'maisa, we already explained that in order for something to be mekabel tuma, it has to be a kli that is metaltel mol v'reikon, even though certainly the shulchan can be moved and it can be transported. However, l'maisa, the din was that the shulchan had to remain in the heichal and had to remain in its proper place, and if so, it's not considered metaltel mol v'reikon, and how could it be that it would be mekabel tuma? We have a cloud that called kli eitz also l'nachas in mekabel tuma, and my time was reason as dumi the sack being on, and as we explained that the Torah compared a kli eitz to a sack, ma sack metaltel mol v'reikon. Rikon, af kol metatumol of Rikon, just like when someone uses a sack, he uses it when it's empty and he uses it when it's full. So the same applies b'negeya kli. The only way that a kli eats would be makabel tumma is only when it's metatumol of Rikon. Nayin tesis diba maschel kli eats asal and achasu, mashem esalkan esa besil gmasais, ain't ze tiltol, kibin and makayma kavua, ayin sham. However, the Gemara answers that shulchan ami metatumol of Rikon, that even the shulchan was metatumol of Rikon, kidirish lakish, as Rish Lakish taught us, Amrish Lakish, Maidach Siv, that what does the Pasuk mean in Pashas Emor when it states, Vesab to Isam Shtayim Racha, Shesham Racha, Al Shulchan Tara, Lufne Hashem? Rish Lakish points out, Tara, Machlad the Ikot Tomei, by the fact that the Torah calls it a Shulchan Tara, that's Mashma, that it could become Tomei, and therefore we see that the Shulchan is Makabal Tumma, on the Mice we just stated, that's not Metatal Mol Rekon, and therefore Rish Lakish explains, El Malab Mishim Magbina is still able to regal him, Umarim Boy Lechem, Vaim Lahem, Uchi Baskam, Lufne Hamakim, Kedivir Rabbi Shua Malevi, Nes Gadol Nasa B'lechem Alpanim, Siluka Kisidurai, Shenema, Lassam Lechem Chayim, B'yayim Lachay. And Rish Lakish explains that they actually picked up the Shulchan at the time of the Shalosh Regalim. It was still smoke coming out of Lechem Alpanim, and this way they were able to show the Eilu Regalim the great nice that happened to the Lechem Alpanim, that the Lechem Alpanim remained fresh and remained soft and warm the entire week. And when they lifted up the Lechem Alpanim, they told the people that came from B'yayim Regal that from this nice, you could see the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Klal Yisrael, and this is based on the memory of Rabbi Shimon Malevi, that he taught us that it was a great nace that occurred on the Lechem HaPanim, that when he removed the Lechem HaPanim on Shabbos, it was just as warm as when they placed it on the Shulchan on Shabbos. And as the Pasuk states in Shmuel Aleph, Lassum Lechem Chayim B'yayim Lachay, they placed bread on the Shulchan, remained hot even on the day that it was taken off of the Shulchan. Therefore we see that the Shulchan was made to be Metatal Mol Rekon. They used to lift up the Shulchan that had Lechem HaPanim on it, in order to be able to show the Eilu Golem that the bread was still hot. Therefore, the Shulchan was able to be Makabal Tumah. And keep in mind that the Pashas of the Pasuk means on the same day that they took off the old Lechem HaPanim, they placed fresh, hot Lechem HaPanim onto the Shulchan, and this was all done on Shabbos. Where now continues that what is Rish Lakish Raif in the Pasuk? That it must be that they picked up the Shulchan, as otherwise, why would the Shulchan be Makabal Tumah? And why would the Pasuk call it the Shulchan Atar? The Gemara is bothered with typically Mishum Tzipui. Why couldn't we explain that the reason why the Shulchan was able to be Makabal Tumma was because it was actually covered with gold and therefore it wasn't considered a Kli Eitz? This would also explain, according to Rabbi Yechon, why the Shulchan was Makabal Tumma, and if so, Rabbi Yechon would not have a Raya that L'divrei Miskati L'mata Isa, then Tavla Misapeches Tmeya. As our Gemara continues and brings a Raya, when item A is covered by item B, then we look at the covering and we look at what item B is and we don't look at item A, as Miloy Tnan, as Dim we learn in the Mishnah Masechtas Kelim that a Shulchan v'adulpki shenifchasu eishachipim b'shayis b'shia behem makam anachas kaisais tmein b'yehuda oimem mekayim anachas chatichais. And the Mishnah teaches us that if one has a table that was initially able to be makabal tumor, if someone had a folding chair which was made out of leather which they used to open up and place their food on top of this chair and it was initially able to be makabal tumor, then one made multiple holes in this table and each hole was not the shear of a rimoin and a rimoin could not fit through any of these holes, or when covered up the wood of the table with marble, and as Rashi states, the havli tzipu shalavanim ukli avanim loy mekabel tuma, and marble would not be mekabel tuma. The tadakama holds that as long as there's still a part of the table that's not covered with marble, part of the table did not have holes, that part of the table could still hold kaisais, then the table would still be mekabel tuma. And Rabbi Yehuda argued in the tadakama, and he says that not only would there have to be a place for kaisais to be held by the table, but the table would still have to have place for bread and meat as well. If it would still be large enough, then the table would still be makabel tuma. And the Gemara's medayek shari in le shari loy, that the only way that this table would still be makabel tuma is only if you still had that remaining space. But if it would be smaller than that amount of space, then the table would no longer be makabel tuma, either because it has too many holes or because it was covered by eben. Therefore, we see that once something is covered, then we look at the covering, and we don't look at what's underneath the cover. And since this table was covered by stone, therefore, the table would no longer be able to be makabel tuma. Therefore, even though the Shulchan and Beis Hamikdash was made of eitz, but the Maisa was covered by gold, and we know that the din of pshuta kli eitz only applies to wood, and it doesn't apply to gold kelim. The Pasuk in Pasha Shmini only speaks about kli eitz, and it doesn't speak about gold kelim. Maybe that's why the Shulchan was able to be makabel tuma, and has nothing to do with them lifting up the Shulchan for the Eilu Regalim. And similarly, from the Shulchan, Rabbi Yechon would not have a raya, and the Tavla HaMesapeches would be makabel tuma. However, the Gemara continues, V'chitema that maybe would be mechalik between our Gemara and the Mishnah Masechtas Kelim. The Mishnah Masechtas Kelim is talking about a kli that was covered over with stone. The stone was firmly attached to the wood. Therefore, we now look at it as a stone kli and not as a wood kli. However, the gold that was on the shulchan that was on top of the eitz was not actually knocked into the wood with nails, and therefore would not be considered a kli zav. And therefore, Reish Lakish has a raya. That's why Rabbi Yechanan also has a raya. The fact that the shulchan became tamei. Nayin Tesis points out that l'chayr the shulchan that Moshe Rabbeinu made was completely plated by gold. How could the Gemara state that the shulchan was tzipui she'inu oimed? Tesis explains that the way that they plated the shulchan was exactly the same way that they plated the aron, and we know that the aron was made from three boxes. There was the top box made of gold, the middle box that was made of wood, then the bottom box that was made of gold. The gold wasn't actually attached to the wood box. Therefore, our Gemara has a valid question that l'chayr we should be mechalik between the Mishnah Masechtas Kelim and the building of the shulchan as kambet zipui oimed, kambet zipui she'inu oimed. However, the Gemara tells us that certainly there is no such chiluk as b'abay minei Reish Lakish Rabbi Yechanan, as Reish Lakish actually asked this exact question from Rabbi Yechanan. As Reish Lakish asked two questions from Rabbi Yechanan, as number one, b'tzipui oimed, oi b'tzipui she'inu oimed, when the Mishnah Masechtas Kelim teaches us that we look at the plating of an item and that is mevatel, anything that's underneath the plating, do we say that only when it's completely attached and it's attached with nails, or will we say that even if it's not attached with nails, that we still only look at the plating and we don't look at what's underneath the plating? And Reish Lakish asks a second question from Rabbi Yechanan, and we continue on Daf Tzadik Zayin Amud Aleph. Do we say that the only way that we consider the plating to be the ikar is only if it covers the rim of the box, or even if it doesn't cover the rim of the box, it would still be considered the ikar, and we would only look at the plating and not what's underneath the plating? The Maisa V'Amalei and Rabbi Yechanan responds to Reish Lakish, but he gave both shailas that loishna tzipu yoimid, loishna tzipu she'ini yoimid, loishna chipas lubazvizin, loishna lechich lubazvizin. In all scenarios, we look at the plating and we don't look at what's underneath the plating. Therefore, we can't be mechali between the case of the Mishnah Masechtas Kelim and the case of the Shulchan, as even if the gold plating of the Shulchan was not completely attached to the wood, but we would still look at the gold and it would not be considered pshutik liyetz. Therefore, back to our original question on Reish Lakish, the Hakar Reish Lakish being a raya from the Shulchan, that it must be that they lifted up the Shulchan for the Eil Regolim, if potentially the reason why the Shulchan was able to be Mekabal Tumah is because it was coated with gold. And similarly, we're back to the original question as to how Rabbi Yechanan could bring a raya from the Shulchan that a Tavla HaMesapachas would be Tmeah. But the Gemara continues, if you will say that Reish Lakish felt that there's a chiluk between the Mishnah Masechtas Kelim and the case of the Shulchan, as the Shulchan was made out of Atzi Shittim, which was more chashuv, and therefore, even though gold was plating the Atzi Shittim, it was not mevatel the Atzi Shittim, and we still looked at the Shulchan as a pshutei kliyetz, and therefore Reish Lakish would have a raya that they must have lifted up the Shulchan and was considered metaltel mali v'reikon. However, the Gemara explains that this explanation would only work according to Reish Lakish and not according to Rabbi Yechanan. And as the Gemara continues, Hanich l'Reish Lakish da'ama leishana b'chli asagas habayim l'disiyam b'chli mismas chashiv v'lei batli. And certainly this chiluk makes sense according to Reish Lakish, who holds that the Mishnah Masechtas Kelim was only discussing a case where the coating was placed on top of the very cheap wood, and therefore the coating would be the ikar and it would be mevatel the eitz. However, if the coating was on top of an expensive wood, then it would not be mevatel the wood. Therefore, Reish Lakish raya was a valid raya from the fact that the shulchan, which is pshutei kliyetz, as even though it was covered by gold, but the maisa was made out of very expensive wood, as it was made out of atzi shittim, and even so it was mekabel tumah. It must be that they actually lifted up the shulchan in order to show it to the eilu regalim, and therefore it was metaltum all over ikon. However, the Gemara is that we still have a question. El Rabbi Yechon da amakli mismas nami batli maikle meima, that according to Rabbi Yechon, it holds that plating is even mevatel a very expensive wood. Then similarly, benegay the shulchan, even though it was made out of atzi shittim, by the fact that it was covered by gold, that should be mevatel the atzi shittim. And so we're back to the original question on Reish Lakish as well as Rabbi Yechon. Number one, how could Reish Lakish bring a raya that the shulchan must have been lifted up to show the eilu regalim? As possible, the reason why it was mekabel tumah is because it was coated with gold and it wasn't considered pshutei kliyetz at all. And similarly, how could Rabbi Yechon bring a raya from the fact that the shulchan was mekabel tumah, that a tavla mesapeches is mekabel tumah, if his whole raya is only based on the din of Reish Lakish that the shulchan was lifted up, therefore the shulchan was not considered kliyetz also in achas? Finally, the Gemara explains that shani shulchan derachmona kari eitz, that although the shulchan was covered by gold, however the Torah specifically refers to it as a wood keli. Therefore, Reish Lakish has a raya that since since the Torah states al shulchan atar, therefore it's mashma that even though the shulchan is considered a kli eitz, and even so it could become tamei, so it must be that they used to lift up the shulchan and show it to the regalim, and therefore the shulchan was considered a kli that was metali mali reikon, and it's also considered a kli that's not asal anachas. Therefore, Rabbi Yechon was also able to bring a raya that from the fact that the Torah calls the shulchan a kli eitz, and even so it could be mekabel tuma, that according to the man omad and miskata lamata isa tavla mesapeches would be tmeya. As the Gemara continues, that where do we find that the Torah called the shulchan a kli eitz? As the pasuk in Cheskel and Perek Mem Aleph Pasuk Beis tells us, amizbeach eitz shalish amiz gavoya va'arka shteim amos miktsayis of loy va'arka v'kiris of eitz va'yidabei lai zeh shulchan shelofnei Hashem. Once again, the Malach was describing the kelim of Bayis Shlishi to Yecheskel. As we'll see, although the pasuk mentions the mizbeach, he's actually referring to the shulchan, and he tells them the shulchan or the mizbeach was made of wood, and it was 3 amos high, and its length was 2 amos, and its corners and its length and its walls were made of wood. Malach told me that we're referring to the shulchan that's in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Maisa, we see in this pasuk that the Torah calls the shulchan a kli eitz, as we just explained. Mora now continues and explains this pasuk in Yecheskel as pasuk b'mizbeach v'sayim b'shulchan, as the pasuk started by speaking about the mizbeach, and then it ended off and stated zeh shulchan asher lifnei Hashem. Gemara explains that in chinami this pasuk is really referring to the shulchan, and Rabbi Yechon Rabbi Elazar taught me tavayu that the pasuk is teaching us b'zman shebeis hamikdash kayim mizbeach mechapal adam, when we had a beis hamikdash the mizbeach was mechapal on a person, v'achshav she'im beis hamikdash kayim shulchan ishul adam mechapal av, but now that we don't have a beis hamikdash, then a person's table is mechapal on him, and as Rashi states the nice and prusal archim, as Rabbeinu Gershom states, Shulchan Mechapa Bachnasar's Archav. The Maisa the Pasuk states that the Mizbeach was Sholosh Amos Gavoya, and Ayin Tesis in Shir Zel, Leilu Mizbeach, Leilu Shulchan, that the Shir of 3 Amos doesn't seem to apply to the Mizbeach and doesn't seem to apply to the Shulchan, Veshem Ezeh HaYagoyim Shal Sleepin. Possibly this refers to the height of the 4 support beams that we mentioned previously. And Ayin Dachrenin, who discusses further, Ayin Shem. Before we finish, let us go back to the bottom of that Tzadik Vav and Aleph, where the Gemara asks a question, and Ayin Rashi, who points out, that why is the Gemara asking from the Bezichin? The Levoina did not receive its Kedusha from the Shulchan, as it received its Kedusha directly from the Bezichin or the spoons, which were considered Klisharis. However, Ayin the Ba'am Tesis, where Tais points out, that since the removal of the bezichin of the levina from the shulchan was considered like when they were doing the kmitza from a mincha, haktar of the bezichin was like the haktar of the kmitz from the mincha, and the bezichin was considered the kmitza of all the lechma panim, so therefore it had to be done from the shulchan itself, since the bezichin was sitting on top of the lechem. The Gemara proves that airspace must have had kedusha as well, Ayin Shem, and we will stop over here.